the Knit More Girls podcast, a multi-generational knitting production. This is our Director's Cut episode featuring Nikki Epstein, brought to you without commercial interruption by Abstract Fiber, the best place to buy the most beautiful yarn and fibers ever. Nikki Epstein is brilliant. Her style is completely unique. You'll know a Nikki Epstein garment or embellishment when you see it. And really, she's terribly interesting. This interview is from TNNA in January of 2011, but I think it's held up rather nicely. So as my mother would say, grab your knitting, pull up a chair, and start your row. This week we are joined by the wonderful and talented Nikki Epstein. Welcome, Nikki.
Hi, Jasmine. How are you?
I'm very well. How about yourself?
I'm fine. And hi, Gigi.
Hello.
We're at TNNA this weekend. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about what you're doing at the show this weekend.
Well, let's see. Now, I'm here with JHB Buttons, who I've done a line of buttons, several lines, actually. This is my fourth line with. And Aslan Trin Books, that I did a small book called The Enchanted Collection with. Mm-hmm. And I'm also signing my new book with Potter Craft Random House, Knitting Block by Block. That's what I'm doing here, and I'm resourcing some yarns for some future projects.
That's exciting. Yeah. It sounds like you're really busy.
Very. Always at these shows. And this is the first time I've been to the California show in 2 years, so I'm seeing lots of new friends, or old friends and new friends. It's fun. I'm excited.
Well, that's really exciting. So for those people who aren't familiar with your buttons or your books or any of your other projects, could you give them a breakdown of kind of what you've done and where you've been?
Well, I've been doing this for many years. I started in 1982 by winning a McCall's Needlecraft contest.
Really?
Yes, I used Sibilia yarn, and it's a tiny little sweater that I used to wear all the time. Mm-hmm. And it was a unicorn in a garden. And it's a story I've told many times, but I entered the contest because I wanted to win a set of needles from 0 to 13, and they were, I hadn't seen them before, but they were third place. Hmm. Long story short, I won first place. So it's been a joke for years. Unfortunately, the woman I talked to, McCall's, has since passed away, but they used to kid me because when she called to tell me I'd won the contest, I said, well, do I still get the needles? You've won first place. Do I still get the needles? And she said, no. I said, okay, well, I want the needles, so can I win third place instead?
Oh.
And she said, no, Nikki, you've won first place. I said, yeah, but I'd rather have the needles.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, back and forth, she said, Nikki, with the $500 you've won, you can buy the needles. Would you believe I still said, no, I want the needles? It's just been a joke because, you know, I'm from West Virginia. I had never seen the needle, and they were beautiful to me, and I didn't think I'd be able to find them. Anyway, it was a joke for years.
What kind of needles were they?
They were just, I think they were boy. They came in a case, and they were all the straight needles, which I still use today, mm-hmm. you know. So it just appealed to me to have those. Anyway. That's how I started knitting, and it was a color work piece with mm-hmm. lots of intricate embroidery, so it was very unique. So they asked me if I had any more sweaters. I didn't. Everything I made, I gave away. Mm-hmm. So I went home that week and made two sweaters with birds on them, color work intarsia, mm-hmm. and took them in, and the rest is history. I was very shy at that time, but there was a camaraderie in New York City among all the editors. We don't have that now because a lot of them have moved everywhere. So they gave my name. They said, we have this kid who does color work in Tarja. She's great. So McCall sent me to Vogue Knitting. Vogue Knitting sent me to Family Circle, to Women's Day. You know, they kind of shared me.
Mm-hmm.
But that was years ago. So, you know, in order to stay in this industry, I've had to reinvent myself. So that's kind of what I pride myself on, trying to do things that haven't been done, do things that I would like as a knitter. That's how I come up with all my books. I look around and say, okay, my first book was the Knit Hat book. There were very few. There was really only one hat book out at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that book with Taunton Press, and it did extremely well. I mean, 10,000 copies in 6 months at that time was,
that's
I think
huge.
It was 87. That was a tremendous amount of books.
Yeah.
So then I got contracts for a couple more books. One was the Knitted Embellishment book that's still selling today. Probably if you're going to have one of my books, that has the most content, I should say that. I mean, I pack them all full. But, so that started my book career, and 21 books later, you know. But I went from, you know, edgings, and I actually attribute my, there's many people, you know, who help you along the way, but a woman named Nora O'Leary, she was at Family Circle. Mm-hmm. And she, I used to go in with like 30 drawings, and she'd say, they're fine, but I want more from you. I want more, you know. So I'd go home and, what, she wants more. So I'd put a couple of edgings on. I'd do, you know, I'd do different things, and she'd come back and she'd say, that's what. So she encouraged me to think outside the box, mm-hmm. which I did. And that was very early in my career. And she actually said something to me that I say to new designers now. They can do a stockinette stitch sweater in-house. You have to, and they, I've sat and watched editors go through boxes of designs that designers have worked hard with swatches and sketches, and they go through them like lightning. If there's not something that pops out and grabs them, you're not going to get a sweater published. Mm-hmm. So I always say, hit them. You know, it could be very plain, but it has to have a shape. You know, something that makes it different. And when I'm done with a sweater or doing a sweater, I always think of that. I think of Nora. What would Nora say? Kind of thing. So
that's really reflected in your pieces. I know that every time we flip through a book or a magazine or anything where you're not explicitly, where it's not clear that it's you right off the bat, we can flip to it and say, that's a Nikki Epstein
Jasmine,
piece.
That's my highest compliment. I'm praised. I'm very happy with that. And actually, this has happened at this show. There's been a few pieces around, and people think they're mine, and they're not, you know, with flowers and things that, you know, it's a trademark. So they're like, did you do this? I said, no, but I could have. It's my flower.
Well, you know, and that's the thing, the Beyond the Edge books take a plain mm-hmm. sweater and they bring it up to
right.
something really remarkable,
right.
which is why we all knit, or
right.
why most of us knit.
Yeah.
Which is really exciting. So how did you learn to think three-dimensionally? Because a lot of your embellishments are very three-dimensional.
Well, I went to an art college, Columbus College of Art and Design. That's where I graduated from. And I just loved dimension. I was actually laughed at. I would do big canvases and glue things on them, and everything was three-dimensional. So, you know, I look at things and I go, well, why can't you do that in knitting? You can do that in knitting. You know, I looked at cords, I-cord. It's very disrespected. You know, it's called idiot cord, mm-hmm. you know. So, well, it was renamed idiot cord. But anyway, I said, if you can do a stockinette stitch and a reverse stockinette stitch, you can do a seed stitch, a cable, a beaded. So I've done all kinds of cords. So I just look at something, think, what more can you do with it? I like corkscrews, and with corkscrews, I've done not just hanging corkscrew. I've done great layered edgings and flowers. There's four flowers in my knitted flower book made out of corkscrew. So it's just, what more can I do with this? So that's kind of, when I teach my classes, I show them from start to finish what more you can do with this. And it usually ends up being a flower, some kind of shape that's three-dimensional or odd. So it's fun for me.
That's exciting. You know? So how do you dream up all of this stuff? Like the bags book, which with the swan purse and there's a houndstooth bag.
See, those books, I always kid, I don't remember what I had for breakfast, but it's almost second nature, maybe because I've been doing it but I get very excited about things like that, and I try to keep it fun. Those are pretty laborious, that book. I love that book. But it's a design book.
Yeah.
Those come easy for me, easier than the resource books.
Mm-hmm.
The resource books, I have to be alone. I have to be focused. You know, I just did the Aslan Trin, you know, very happy to do that. And at the same time, I was doing the block book. It's a relief for me to do the design book as opposed to the block book. You know, that's that I have to really concentrate and write down and focus on.
Mm-hmm.
It's a difference.
Can you tell us more about your block book?
Yeah, well, it's doing very well, I'm happy to say. Thank everybody for that. There are many block books out there, but there's so much more you can do with blocks than just afghans. So the whole purpose of the book was for me to show what else you can do with one block, two blocks, three blocks, four blocks, you know, and on like that. So that was the purpose of the book. Also, they're portable. They're not intimidating. Like for a beginner, I did many different techniques. So if you've never done a Farallisle before, you can do a Farallisle block. If you don't enjoy it, that block's not wasted. I really don't believe in wasting knitting. You know, it's work you put into something. Mm-hmm. So you can make a hat with it. You can make a purse. There, if you want to make another one, you can make a pair of mitts. You know, there's different things you can do with it. And in the back of it, I'm very excited about this. I'm like spoon feeding you to design your own. I have three or four pages of the blocks shrunk to postage stamps. And you can Xerox those, cut them out, and then paste them in the diagrams that I've done for you and design your own afghans and sweaters and things.
That's just incredible.
Yeah,
I
no,
was
I'm
so
very
blown
excited
away
about
that.
And then there are three little toy animals that it's so funny when I teach the class and they see those animals. It's like all these adults want to make. I want to make the turtle. I want to make the cat. I'm going to make the lion. So we end up not knitting and make these animals, you know.
Out of squares?
One block.
One block.
One square. So I have to talk to somebody. I got crazy with it. You know, I'm thinking, oh, let me make a penguin. Let me make a squirrel. You know, so I've got a book worth of animals now. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, it was fun.
So I bought your knit hat book and I bought the embellishments book in maybe 1996 or 1997 uh-huh. when I was in high school.
Oh, you're kidding. That's sweet.
It's the honest truth. And
hey, it's selling for $149 on eBay.
Really?
Yeah, don't buy it.
Everybody. I'm hanging on to my copy then.
But, yeah, it's out of print now.
Yeah, but I was blown away at again, the dimensionality and how innovative it was. And when you came out with the on the edge, over the edge, beyond mm-hmm. the edge... Mm-hmm. I couldn't get enough of those books.
Thank you.
And they're just amazing. So do you swatch? How do you come to these textures and these interesting finishes? I mean, well, let's start with where you started. What did you went to an art school?
Mm-hmm.
What type of art were you majoring in?
Fine arts and retail advertising, fashion illustration, mm-hmm. you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've got the background for it.
Oh, yeah, I have the background for it. Yeah, and I've actually just done some paintings that I'm excited about. They're hanging in the Lion Brand Studio gallery right now. There are five sheep that I met in Australia. Mm-hmm. So I painted large canvases. I did the shell of the sheep with their faces and legs. And then I went in and did, there's five of them, I did different knitting stitch techniques on each one of them. So those are on my website if anyone wants to see them. Or if you're in New York, go see them at Lion Brand because, you know, when they're big and in front of you, they're much more... There's much more impact than on the greeting cards.
Yeah.
But you know, people have been wanting to buy them. There's no way. You know, there's a lot of knitting in each one of my ones has corkscrews, one has baubles. Anyway, it was fun. So there's still that art in me. I want to do that, but I still need to make a living kind of thing.
So, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So how did knitting come to you?
Knitting, I started like everybody else. You know, my grandmother taught me when I was like seven. But when I was 14, a Spanish lady came to our community. It was a Spanish-speaking community that I grew up in West Virginia. And she couldn't speak English. So I taught her how to speak English. She taught me how to knit. To this day, I'm working with Aslan Trends, and they're all Spanish-speaking. Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry I don't speak Spanish because my father's fluent, you know. Anyway, so that's how I learned really knitting techniques. She showed me how to do color work, many techniques, and also I'm what they call a pit knitter. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that at the time, but I knit with long needles, and I knit, you know, with one under my arm. So, and that's how I... knit. But yeah, that's how I basically learned. There's a few other things that happened along the way. But I love to knit. I knitted my way through college, you know, and whatnot. So
you've been knitting for a few years.
Oh yeah, a few years.
What's the worst knitting disaster you've ever had?
Let's see. Well, listen to this, Jasmine. I don't believe in, like I said, wasting knit. Most of my disasters turn into some of my best designs.
Really?
But the only thing I was really upset about was many years ago I did a beautiful, like 26 colors, an Afghan for Vogue. The picture was lovely. I did a hat to match, and the girl wrapped the Afghan, had squirrels and grapes. But when I laid in the box, I knitted the baubles in. And when I was done with this, you know, terribly intricate Afghan, I didn't like where I had placed the grapes and the flowers. You can't take out a bauble. Once it's knit in, there's no grafting it gracefully. Mm-hmm. Somebody out there will probably say there is, but I couldn't figure it out. So that was my biggest disaster, and I was as like Scarlett O'Hara. I said, I'll never knit another bauble in as long as I live. So if you see a piece of mine and there are baubles all over it, chances are I've knitted those separately and tied them on.
Huh.
So, but then an instruction writer, she'll get a hold of it and then knit them in. But I don't care at that point.
Well, once it's final, it's there.
Once it's final and that's where the baubles go, I'll do that. That's probably, you know, and once I lost an Afghan on the street that they were photographing 2 days later.
Oh, dear.
From McCall's. That was early in my career. I left it at a bus stop, but for some wonderful reason, my husband's card was in it. And the lady and a daughter that found that Afghan actually called my husband's office and said, we found this piece. We think it's probably important to you. And that was like the second day. So I had already started the Afghan. I was going to have to make that Afghan in 2 days.
Oh,
you know?
My goodness.
So that was real trauma for me. And do you know, they left their number and everything, and I lost it, and I've never thanked them. So I always feel badly about it. But anyway, that's always scary when you, and my big fear in life ever since is somebody mailing, losing something, mm-hmm. you know, losing a piece that's set up for photography.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
Wow. That is
so pretty disastrous when that happens because you have photographers, you have, you know, assistants and models and makeup, and you know it's a big deal when a piece doesn't show up for a shoot.
But what a great faith in humanity story!
Oh, isn't it? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so we did that. Do you have any tips that have really helped you along the way that you'd like to share with other knitters?
With knitters in general or designers?
Designers, knitters, anybody. What's your golden tip?
Well, you know, I think if you put a lot of work into a piece, it should be special. I don't think it should look like something that you could buy in pennies or from a store. Mm-hmm. So I just think it should be special. If it's the buttons, if it's the edging, if it's the flower, you know, and choose your own colors, you know, and have fun with it. You know, it's supposed to be fun. So I guess that would be my tip.
We've definitely gotten the fun out of your, we can feel it.
I hope. You know, I love what I do, so.
Which is awesome. It's so important, especially with as much as you're doing. How did you get involved with making buttons and designing buttons?
Well, JHB is a wonderful company, and I've worked with them for years, and I've used their buttons on many of my pieces. They were always, even before, they kid me and say, even before I was Nikki Epstein, they sent me buttons when I needed it for a project, you know, at no cost, which was very sweet. Mm-hmm. So I guess it happened about 3 years ago. I was with the owner of the company, and he asked me if I'd be interested in doing a line of buttons. I said, sure, of course. So I fooled around a little bit, and I look around, there's so many incredibly beautiful buttons out there, but I wanted them to be unique and special. And so, you know, I'm new at it. So, you know, I'm getting a lot of feedback where they may be heavy, the heavy ones I wanted to do at the time, they were for bulky knits, because mm-hmm. you couldn't find a button that worked on a bulky knit. But what, so anyway, that's how I started, and I did the first line, which was clasp, because there weren't really a whole lot, now there's a lot. Mm-hmm. But so, I've done 4 lines for them now, so we're excited about it and getting a good response. I just did an alpaca that's doing very well and some key stick pins. It's just fun for me. It's just like an extra piece of fun.
Do you get to sculpt them or do you just doodle them?
No, I do a sketch, and then I have a Ramon Weaver's his name. I work with this kid, and he's just fabulous. You know, he gives me the detail, makes the first mold for me, and then we take it from there.
How cool is
yeah,
that?
But it's something I want to learn how to do. I just don't have time. I'd much rather do the molds myself. But
so, what know. Do you do when you're not knitting?
What do I do when I'm not knitting? Well, I do lots of things. I travel quite a bit, but mm-hmm. it's usually for knitting. My husband and I travel too, sometimes on vacations. But generally, I take Fridays off. I have a very dear friend, and we go to the movies. We go to dinner every Friday night because she has a stressful job, and I work too hard. So we take that out. And when, you know, I play on the weekends usually. But I'm making lots of personal things. I'm doing the VK Live show, so I've just come up with some circular needle holders I think are real fun and things like that, you know, just fun. I designed some scarves, some silk scarves for my silver anniversary mm-hmm. with artwork, things like that, you know, always doing something though.
Well, it sounds like you've got your hands in kind of all sorts of different mediums.
Right. Well, I'm trying, my hands are bad. I actually, you know, the repetitive motion after all these years, arthritis has set in, so I'm told not to knit as much, so I'm trying to do some other things that I enjoy, and painting doesn't hurt, so I do that. So I'm trying to incorporate it with knitting, and I'm also getting some help, assistance, like if I when I do my next book, they'll sit with me and knit for me. So
oh, wonderful.
Anyway, Yeah.
Could you imagine that job? You're going to be Nikki Epstein's knitter. You just get to sit and enjoy the brilliance. Yeah.
Actually, I'm going to start out with a dear friend of mine. You know, it'll make it better for me.
It's always better with
a
friend.
Yeah.
Stash. What does your stash look like?
Please.
Oh, is that confidential?
Oh, no. Are you kidding? I have a little log house in Pennsylvania. My husband calls it the world's largest yarn box. And I was doing a book for Soho Publishing, and, you know, I always say I'm unorganized, so they sent a girl over to help me, and young, and it was, I felt, I won't even use the word, but I felt really invaded. She said, take out what you want before. So of course I grabbed cashmere and alpaca and put it in boxes, and she came with garbage bags and just took my yarn and put it in bags and was donating it. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I'm telling you, she was saying, you're just like my mother, Nikki. All you have to do is pick up the phone and get any yarn you want. You don't need this yarn. And I'm going, ba, 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 you know, like that, like a hoarder. But I tell you, for like 3 weeks, I felt kind of good, but it's worse than it was before. Oh. So there's no hope. You know, we need yarn. We love having it around. And it, the first time I give a ball away, 2 days later, I need it.
It's of course.
So funny. It's just outrageous. We're yarn lovers. We, you know. And I'm as bad as anyone else. I go on these trips, and I'm buying yarn.
It's vacation yarn. It's special.
It's like, yeah.
Do you put the date and occasion where you bought the yarn on your yarn wrapper,
or do you just remember?
No,
you
no.
remember?
Yeah. I don't buy that much. It's got to be something very special. You know, I bought a beautiful ball of cashmere from Italy. You know, mm-hmm. And usually if they knew who I am, they give it to me. So no, so I don't mark it. No.
Do you have a special tool that you couldn't live without?
Well, my needles. You know, when I go to Spain or a country like that, I buy extra long ones because I do hold them under my needle, my arm, I'm sorry. But I actually use aluminum needles more than, because I need them for speed.
Yeah.
I mean, I love all needles. You've probably heard I have over 1,000 sets of needles.
No,
I have
kidding.
A tremendous collection because I was a big, some fun. I don't do it as much anymore, but I love going to flea markets and fairs and things like that, like overseas and here. And anytime I see needles, I buy them because I think, you know, those could be my needles someday. So I have a very nice collection of knitting needles but tools that I, just my needles, I guess. Yeah.
Excellent.
And good scissors.
Yes.
Very important.
So, do you have a favorite pair of scissors?
Yes, I like the Krennic, the German scissors. But I've seen so many pairs I like at the show, but those are what I use. And they also have a pair with a little leopard handle that I use. Yeah. I've had some of my favorites taken from me at the airport. I'll forget I have them in a bag, and I practically throw myself on the floor in tears. Please don't take my scissors.
Yeah.
You know, but
the same thing
it becomes you cherish those. I have a little tin box that was a candy box that I keep my things in. You know, one of the magazines, I think it was, they're going to kill me, just did an article on what's in my knitting bag, and it's really fun. But they left out chocolate. They left out a few things, key things that I always have in my bag.
So
but,
what did they leave out?
Well, they left out chocolate. They left out my medicine case. Mm-hmm. What else did they leave out? A few things that I thought were kind of important. It might have been my tape measure. I'm not sure. I can't remember. But, yeah, well, I had some other chapstick, hand cream. Things
the usual
like that.
Stuff.
Yeah. But they left that out. They kept it, you know, other things. I carry a lot. It's a big bag because I take it overseas with me too. When I'm home, I don't use a knitting
bag.
Those
are the things that add character to your bag.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So.
So your bag is roughly the weight of an anvil too.
No. It's not. Believe it or not. Mm-mm.
It's a big bag, but a fluffy bag.
No, it's a big bag. The bag's light to begin with, but it's the things aren't heavy.
Oh.
And the yarn takes up the bulk, and it's usually not heavy. No.
Good.
I keep it light.
Where do you travel to?
Well, let's see. This year I've been to Holland. Mm-hmm. I did a show in Rotterdam. It was wonderful. I went with Aslan Trin Yarn. Mm-hmm. And let's see. Then I have to forget when that was. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
In I've been there. I've been to Italy. I did a Vogue knitting tour, and we did knitting in Tuscany from my Knitting in Tuscany book, and that was fun. We visited all the mills, and I always say these countries should pay the American girls to go over because we spend a lot of money doing these trips. There were 42 women on that trip, and it was like they were women who've been on trips with me before. It really was like a family reunion. Mm-hmm. We had tears in our eyes when we parted. It was a 2-week trip. Then I was back for 2 days, turned around, repacked for fall. I repacked for summer and went to Argentina, to
lovely.
Buenos Aires, and we went to the Aslan Trend yarn mill, which was fabulous. They're one of the few yarn mills that they spin their own yarn, they dye it, they ball it, they do it from beginning to finish. So that was exciting. You know, and it's something that, you know, we don't get to see here. And then we took a boat to Uruguay, to Malabrigo, which mm-hmm. was fabulous, and we actually dyed yarn there.
No kidding.
I had never done that. I was like, oh my God. It was beautiful. So
what did your yarn look like that you dyed?
My yarn was I actually was greedy. I stayed we did it in three groups, and I stayed in two of the groups.
Uh-huh.
And I did a purple multicolor that wasn't that unique, but then I did a teal with browns and grays and blacks that I absolutely love. I made myself a scarf out of it. It was just fun. It was a sock yarn and thrilling. We all loved doing it. You know, I wish I had time to do that. I was very excited about it.
Maybe when they add a few more hours to the day.
Yeah, exactly, right. Or give me a few more hands, good hands, right? Well, and next year, I should tell you where I'm going next year.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm already booked to go in July. We're doing a Mediterranean cruise with Great Balls of Yarn. You can find out all this on my website.
Which we'll link to.
Right, and then in the fall, I think September, October, I'm doing it with Traveling Together. We're doing a New England, Canada, Nova Scotia trip. Cruise, so that should be fun. And these book early, so if you're listening and you want to do any of these trips, that's book now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yes, if you say spa or overseas to me, I'm there. Or, you know, traveling.
Sounds like my kind of trip.
Yeah, I figure let me do it while I... And we always have so much fun, and it's knitting, you know. And we're always so happy, you know, whether it be because we're away from our husbands or kids. Could be, you know. But we're happy girls, and we spend lots of money.
So I'm assuming you're doing a lot of yarn tasting as you're traveling. How do you feel about food overseas or in these travel places?
You can't look at me and tell how I feel about the food. I love the food. Are you kidding? In Italy, I went to Holland. I thought, okay, I'll do okay here because, you know, they're not noted for their food. Oh, my God. A wonderful food in Holland. And I can't say it, this stoffwafel. This little waffle filled with caramel. It's a cookie. And they actually sent me a big box for Christmas. I worked for a company called Astrid and Inc. or whatever, and it was like, oh, my God. So then they sent me licorice and things like that. So I love the food in Holland, and I thought I was going to have to buy another suitcase for cheeses. They brought me cheese. They're very, I love going overseas. And I think because of Ravelry, mm-hmm. people know me overseas. When I went to Australia, I was just floored by the amount of people and young people like you, Jasmine, that know me. So I love Ravelry. I'm on Ravelry now. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm trying, you know, because I didn't grow up in that computer age.
Mm-hmm. You can find everything mentioned in this week's episode on our show notes, which are located at knitmoregirlspodcast.com, and you can send any comments, questions, or feedback to me, Jasmine, Jasmin, at knitmoregirlspodcast.com.
Or me, Gigi, Gigi, at knitmoregirlspodcast.com.
You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Everlaps as Knit More Girls. And we have a great Ravelry group full of interesting people, and you should absolutely be a part of it.
This is Nikki,
Jasmine,
and Gigi
telling you to knit more.